Open your Bibles here tonight to Book of 2 Peter chapter 3, and we'll be going to Revelation chapter 22 after that, but we'll start here in 2 Peter chapter 3, and talking about our living hope, looking for our Lord's coming back again. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This is a second epistle, beloved, that I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, or mockers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continued as they were from the beginning of creation. Let's pray here tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And Father, as we talk about the second coming of Christ, Father, bless your word to our hearts and lives tonight. And Father, I thank you for those that are here. And Father, help me be a vessel that honors your Son and your word, brings glory to your holy name. And Father, thank you that you hold our right hands. And Father, thank you that you are coming. Your Son is coming again quickly for us. So Lord, bless us as we gather around your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This little word at the end of verse 1, by the way of remembrance, that is something that's important for us as believers, because we need to remember what God has said by way of remembrance. Sometimes we can get distracted. Sometimes we can get looking at all kinds of events and things in our lives. But when it comes to remembering what God has said by way of remembrance, you know, Peter's writing here, beloved, I now write to you in both which I stir up your pure minds. God is wanting to stir up our minds by the way of remembrance. Now, sometimes we can know something, but it kind of gets put on the shelf and we don't visit it very well and we don't think about it very often. But it's good to take things off the shelf, so to speak, and remember them. Why do we have pictures of our loved ones around our house? Why do we have pictures? So we can what? Remember them. Yes, it helps us remember. When you have pictures of your children and they're all over the world or whatever, it's nice to have those pictures, because it helps us remember them and to focus on them. Well, Peter here is saying that he wants to stir up our pure minds, those that are Christ-like, by way of remembrance. Now, verse 2, that ye may be mindful. Now, we're thinking in our minds, we're trying to remember these things, of the words which are spoken. Now, these words in the Old Testament, the holy prophets, the apostles, the New Testament, they all speak with one voice. This word speaks to the unity of Scripture and God's holy word to us as believers, which was spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Now, remember and be mindful, because what's happening in these days? Verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days, what's that next word? Scoffers, mockers, people that push back against the things of God. Now, I wish I could say that the church triumphant in America is moving forward with great glory and honor. I wish I could say that. But I look at our religious, we look at just like our educational institutions across America, if anything, things are going backwards for the cause of Christ. Things are not moving forward in that sense, because the scoffers in the last days are walking after their own lust, their own desires, the things that they crave, not the things of God. Now, when did Peter write this epistle here? How many years ago?
Many
moons ago, Jimmy says. Yeah, it's a long time ago. If those were the last days then, what are these days? These would be the last of the last days. Now, what happened in 1948 that was like a point of prophecy that came true? What happened in 1948?
Is that the founding of Israel?
Yeah, Israel came back to be a nation. That has been unheard of. No nation that has been extinct for thousands of years has come back again and formed a nation with their own language, because the Hebrew language was a dead language. And now it's spoken freely in the land of Israel. Amazing. But that's what God says, because what is the Antichrist going to do? He's going to enter the what and declare himself to be God. What is he going to enter? The temple. Well, if you're going to have a temple, you got to have a place for the temple. And in the place of the temple is Israel, and you got to have the children of Israel. So we know the temple is going to be rebuilt. And the Antichrist is going to enter into the temple, declare himself to be God. Well, God's got his plan, because these last days, scoffers, mockers, walking after their own lust. Give me something a scoffer would say concerning the things of God. There is no
God.
There's no God, yeah. We looked at that this morning. What does Psalm 53:1 say? The fool has said what? In his heart, there is no God. Same with Psalm 14:1 says the same thing. They say there's no God. Scoffers, mockers, those that laugh at the things of God. Now look at verse 4. These scoffers are saying, where is the promise of his what? Coming. They're laughing. Now we as believers, we've been looking for Jesus Christ to come back soon. Looking for him to come back. And these mockers are all around scoffing, laughing, making fun of believers that live for God and do the things of God. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. You know, they're mocking. Where is Jesus Christ? It's been thousands of years. He's not coming back. What makes this book different than any other book in the world? It contains what?
Truth.
Okay, well, truth. That's true about truth. Okay, that's true. Okay, but what else does it contain?
Fulfilled prophecy.
Because the minute you write something down and it doesn't come true, you know it's false. But if it comes true, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, there was 33 prophecies that intersected on that day on the cross. It's amazing, these prophecies that come true. Because God said they were, and they come to pass as he said. Where's the promise of his coming? Now, Peter wanted to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which are spoken. Now, these people, what are they trying to do to us? Where's the promise of his coming? Everything's the same. You know, believers, if they don't have this living hope, looking ahead, seeing Jesus Christ coming again. Now, if we truly believe Jesus Christ is coming again, how should that affect us? What does that do to us? There's two things it does for us. If we really believe he's coming back, what is one thing that does for us? It gives us what?
Hope.
Do we need hope? Life can be pretty discouraging. Now, yeah, we live in this world that's cursed, and violence is everywhere. People hurting people lying, people cheating, people just corruption everywhere. It's pretty discouraging sometimes. But I have hope, because when he comes back, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is going to rule and reign in this world. And all this sin and foolishness is going to be behind us. What is the second thing it should give to us? If he's coming back again, he gives us hope. But what else does it give us?
Encouragement.
Okay, it gives us encouragement, hope and encouragement. But because he is coming back, what does that do for us as believers?
Oh, we want to be sure we're ready.
Ah, be ready. Yeah, absolutely be ready.
Live for him.
It gives us hope, but it also we want to live for him. Because we don't want to be ashamed at his coming. Now, you know, what if the Lord was come back and you were doing something that was sinful or evil or wicked, and you get to heaven and you're talking with one of the martyrs of the faith who died in the Roman Colosseum being killed by lions because they wouldn't say Caesar is Lord, and they killed him, and they get to heaven and one looks at you and say, What was the last thing you did? Well, I was in Roman Colosseum, and I didn't deny Christ. I was killed by the lions. And you have to say, oh, well, I was down at the local bar, you know, drinking, and I was, that would be kind of embarrassing, wouldn't it? You know, if he's really coming back, we're going to live for him. We're going to want to honor him, because we don't want to be ashamed at his coming. Verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of. Now, people that are scoffers, they're ignorant. People that deny God, they're fools. For this they are willingly or ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Creation, whereby the world then was overflowed with water perished. What is he referring to there in verse 6? What is he talking about? Noah's flood. Okay. Noah built an ark. Did it ever rain? Never rained before then. It was all watered by mist that came out of the ground and never rained. And Noah said, guess what, guys? You better get ready. God's going to flood this world. Oh, it's never going to happen. It's not going to happen. Peter said, it happened. Now, what's the first letter in the Chinese alphabet? What's the first letter? You're not Chinese? First letter in the Chinese alphabet. Nobody knows why this is. It's a boat with eight people in it. That's the first letter. Now, how many was on Noah's Ark? Eight people. That's the first letter in the Chinese alphabet is a boat with eight people in it. Nobody understands why it's there. Now, if I read the Bible and I use my sanctified imagination, I can imagine why they were talking about Noah's Ark. But see, these scoffers, they laugh at that. Oh, that never happened. It'll never happen. If you go all around the world, you know what they find on top of Mount Everest? Marine fossils. How do they find all over the world, every mountain, they found marine fossils all over the world. How does that happen? Well, because the world was flooded. Verse 6, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water, Noah's, the flood, perished. Okay, happened in the past, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, God's word, are kept in store, held by the power of God, reserved under fire against the day of what?
Judgment.
Hey, it's coming. Now, scoffers, they laugh at God, they mock God. But what do we know as believers? Judgment day is what? Coming. It's coming. And God will judge the world in righteousness, reserved under fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. Now, the ungodly, verse 5, they're willfully ignorant. Beloved, seen by believers, don't be ignorant of this thing. Don't forget that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Is God's timing like our timing?
No,
it's not. So we may think 2,000 years, that's been a long time. But for God, it may have been only what? Two days. See, he has a totally different time scale than we do. We may think it's been a long time. So when he says, I come quickly, God says, only been a couple of days. I'll be there. Don't worry. I'm coming again. Now, we have a hope. Now, they're scoffers. They have no hope. The mockers, they have no hope. Verse 9, but we have hope. The Lord is not slack concerning his what? His coming, his promise. He's not going to not fulfill it, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us word. Now, why is God waiting? The answer is right here. Not willing that any should what?
Perish.
But that all should come to what? Repentance. Why is God waiting? Because he wants the last person that's going to get saved to get saved. And then, it's done. That all should come to repentance. Now, turn to the book of Revelation here. Last chapter, chapter 22, book of Revelation. Look at verse 7 of Revelation 22. It says, behold, I come what? Quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Now, look down at verse 12. What does that say? And behold, I come what?
Quickly.
And my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. Look at verse 20. He which testify these things saith, surely I come what?
Quickly.
Amen. Even so. Now, do you believe this? Do you cry out? Even so, come Lord Jesus. Does that give us hope? That gives us hope. That gives us hope. And that's how we should believe. And that's what Peter's encouraging us. Now, we need to have that hope. We need to have that hope in our hearts. Because one, it, That upward look at Christ, his soon coming, gives us hope. Two, it purifies our life. There's two effects it has. One, it encourages us. Two, it purifies us as God's people. And it says in verse 11 of 2 Peter 3, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, this world's going to come to an end, what manner of persons ought ye what? To be in all holy manner of life, conversation, and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall dissolve, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. How did God destroy the world the first time? By what? A flood. How's he going to destroy it the second time? By fire. And this world's going to be done. So if this world's going to perish, how much investment do you want to make in this world compared to the heavens, the new heavens and the new earth, investment in heaven? Because this world's going to pass away and everything that people work for. So this coming week, should we have hope? We should have hope. We should have hope in God. How soon is Jesus Christ coming back? Soon. Quickly. Yes. Yes. And that should give us hope. Now, I don't know about you. If I listen to the news, tell me this is true or false. When I hear the news, I get so encouraged. Is that true or false?
False.
Ah, you got it. It's false. I get no encouragement. Why? Because it's all bad news. It is. It's just bad news everywhere. But if I read this, this is good news because this encourages me because my great God will reign and rule forever. And he's going to have us being with him forever and ever. Anybody have any thoughts about this passage or any insights? Anything in 2 Peter chapter 3?
I don't know if I have anything profound, but I'm glad you mentioned about the 2 days.
Okay.
Yeah, 2 days, that's not very long.
Right, it's not long at all. It's not long, it can be quick, 1,000 years
if
a day.
If we want to think like God does.
Right, if we want to think like God, he's coming soon, yes, yes. Any other thoughts? Okay. Well, let's close here in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for what we looked at here today. And God, as believers, may we be encouraged in the hope we have in Jesus Christ is soon appearing. And Lord, the crooked shall be made straight, and the righteous will be vindicated, and we shall walk into the streets of gold into heaven to be with our Savior, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And Lord, thank you for that hope we have as believers. And Father, although the world mocks and scoffs, but Lord, we have the truth and we have the hope and we know that our God reigns. So Lord, we just praise you and worship you. And thank you for this, that hope we have as believers. And Father, we want to honor you and give you thanks. And Lord, this coming week, may we keep this hope and be looking for our coming Savior, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.